Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood, a.k.a. Hobbo. Hobbo, tonight is our 70th show. Can you believe it?
Number 70.
Anyhow, UVA's baseball, lacrosse, tennis, and golf teams continue to battle for wins while defending their high rankings. Lots of good news from Charlottesville. The men's tennis team defeated North Carolina and Duke last weekend. The number one UVA baseball team shut out Radford following a tremendous three-game sweep of VPI last weekend down in Bleaksburg. We're glad that you've joined us tonight.
Well, as Frank said earlier, this is Jim, otherwise known as Hobbo in some quarters. Have another strong show lined up for you tonight. We will be joined in a few minutes by former Wahoo football star Antonio Rice, a tremendous running back, and he does the pregame show over in Charlottesville on Football Saturdays. We're delighted to have him, and he'll give us a breakdown of the spring game that happened on Saturday over in Charlottesville. Mr. Maloney was there in person, so he'll have his commentary as well. And later in the show, speaking of successful teams, we will have the head tennis coach from Virginia, Brian Bolin, of the number one ranked and undefeated Wahoo tennis team. And, of course, as Frank said, the baseball team continues to excel. Another win yesterday, 29-2. I don't care what you're playing, 29-2 is pretty strong.
Yes, it is.
So, is Michael Tusky going to outline how we you can follow the show tonight?
I am. We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on to Facebook. Just search for Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, Frank, the one thing you did not mention was the lacrosse team from last Saturday, which was a disappointing outcome against your Maryland Terrapins. So two consecutive losses in lacrosse, and I think they said that's the first time that's happened in 3 or 4 years.
More than that. So, very, very surprising and disappointing in some respects, but you know, considering that Coach Starcia lost basically his entire back line of defense, particularly the loss of Nazalek and Clausen, he's trying to rebuild the defense. And it seems like the players are next to the men they're supposed to be guarding, but they're clearly not checking them correctly. And Maryland got too many shots in the crease, and Adam Gittleman is a great goalie, but, you know, he's only going to save so many point blank.
Yeah.
Offense is a mystery. Virginia leads the nation in scoring, yet somehow has these dry spells.
Well, a big game against Carolina this weekend on Saturday at home. Can they turn it around?
Absolutely. Going to be playing back in Klockner Stadium at 12 noon. I encourage serious Virginia lacrosse fans to get up there. The weather's supposed to be better. Should be an exciting game, and there's a lot on the line because somehow the rankings have flipped around, and Carolina's ranked higher going into this game, and I think Virginia's pride will show, and you'll see a great game.
So you're saying it was not necessarily a spring weekend for the spring game?
You can say that sleet, hail, heavy rain, and a temperature drop of about 20-some degrees in a couple of hours.
Otherwise, a beautiful day in Charlottesville.
Not so much. The sun came back out just in time for the football scrimmage, and no sooner did the players start coming out in the field to stretch, and then the weather turned around.
They were just happy it wasn't 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, they were. There seemed to be a lot of smiles out there on the field.
Yeah, it's nice to play in the afternoon for a change. Well, at any rate, we'll be joined by Antonio Rice in a moment. He'll be calling in, but while we're waiting for him to call in, you can introduce him in a moment. But why don't you give us your thoughts on the spring football game?
Well, in a nutshell, there's some things that I really liked. The first thing I really liked was the Virginia run defense was there to play on Saturday, and not one running back at any point during the game had a run of more than a few yards.
So my buddy Jim Reed is back in your good graces now?
Jim Reed is alive and well and kicking. And Steve Greer and Taliaferro and Reynolds and, you know, all the linebackers, they were flowing to the ball. Defensive line was neutralizing the offensive line, and the defensive backs came up with good run support as well. And so I know that's a point as a major issue that's got to be remedied for next season. The quarterback battle is still up in the air, although I have to say that Rocco looked better.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly put up the best stats. He also threw the most passes by a mile.
Well, the one thing you like about it, he's a coach's kid, so yeah. A lot of times that can make a difference relative to understanding the game. And he's been in the system now for a year, so that helps too.
Enjoyed watching David Watford take his first snaps. He was very dramatic, the way in which he handled some things. And would have to say that it was good to see Kevin Parks on the field. He redshirted this past year. It's nice to see him finally running the ball a few times, although he had trouble handling, I think, his first or second handoff. But he'll learn. I mean, you got to keep the ball in the outside hand if you're going off guard or off guard.
Well, running back should be a strength of this team, right?
Well, we will see. Clifton Richardson is coming in. Torrey Mack has been academically suspended, so it should be a battle between Perry Jones, who's one of the captains. Kevin Parks will get his touches. He's built like a tank. And then Clifton Richardson, a little bit more rangier of a player, a little bit more along the lines of 6'1", 190 pounds, that type of running back. And should be interesting. A lot of wide receivers did not play due to injury. And it's unfortunate because it did not give us the fans or the media a real good opportunity to gauge how much progress the quarterbacks are making. So, and that's all everybody talked about was, you know, the fact that Chris Byrd wasn't on the field, Tim Smith was not on the field, the Matt Snyder was not on the field. So there's three of your top returning receivers, and they're not on the field, and they're, you know, I think they're almost done with their injuries. They're rehabbing, but coaches are trying to protect them right now.
Well, anyway, we trust they'll be on the field in September, but why don't you introduce our guest who I think is on the line.
Well, we're very excited tonight to have none other than Antonio Rice joining us. He played back there in the early 80s when George Welsh had taken over the reins as the head football coach. Antonio played in the Peach Bowl. He also was a former captain. He played with guys like Jim Dombrowski and Charles McDaniel. And one thing that I really liked looking back at his stats, he was 2-1-1 versus North Carolina. And that was back during a time where Virginia turned the tables on Carolina because for many years Carolina had been beating the daylights out of us. He led the Wahoos in rushing in 1982 with 764 yards and six touchdowns. I think he would probably say that he loved playing with Pat Chester and Kenny Stadlin and Don Majkowski, just to name a few. Anyway, Antonio, are you there?
I sure am, and you bring up some wonderful, wonderful names of some guys that I love and admire and look up to. So I haven't talked to those guys and haven't seen those guys in a while. Actually, Charlie McDaniel saw him this past weekend, but you bring back some really fond memories.
Well, that's one of the things we strive to do here on Who's Talking. Antonio, let's get down to brass tacks here. Spring game, strange weather in Charlottesville, but the weather sort of cleared off at the last second, and Coach London was able to bring out his newest addition, if you will. What were your general thoughts of watching the game on Saturday?
You know, the game itself, you know, first, the concept, the fact that you have two teams out there playing, orange and blue, getting after it. So it felt like a real football game. And so I like that concept being brought back. But, you know, the bottom line is you really want to go out there and assess the talent. And then if you look at all the different injuries, and I just overheard you guys talking about the injuries to the wide receivers from Snyder to Byrd to Smith. You know, some of our best players went out there, so you can't really give a real full assessment to how things look. Now, you know, my first thing that I look at, you know, you look at the quarterback, like who's going to run the show, and no one really, to me, stood out to really grab that position and say, hey, I'm the guy. So I can't say that I wasn't disappointed, nor was I impressed. It was like, okay, that position is still basically up for grabs. Now, you think about the quarterback Matheny, and you think about Rocco, you look at those guys who have a little bit of experience under their belt. They did okay, but I can't say that they were great.
Right.
And then you look at the freshmen coming in, and I guess you could still call him a freshman. David Watt, Watford, you know, that guy has a lot of intangibles. He's got a strong arm and all good stuff, but do you really start a true freshman?
Right.
And so, for me, it was just looking at the whole picture, looking at, you know, where we need some help, where we're going to be okay. And the running back position looked pretty strong to me. I thought Perry Jones did a nice job. And I thought Shepard did a decent job as well.
Khalik Shepard had a terrific run, and I want to say it was around right end, and he showed a burst. What'd you think?
Oh, yeah. You know, the kid absolutely has some skill. He has some talent. It's, you know, you look at the Keith Payne's and all that good stuff. Well, you look at Shepard, who's just 5'8", 175 maybe.
Yep.
And back in my days, we had some hosses. You know, we had the Barry Words and the Howard Pettys. We were all well over 215, you know, 220. Barry Word was probably close to 230. So I'm used to the big backs. And now to see these little guys out there with the speed who can get around the corners and have that acceleration, those quick bursts. They're
going to
be fun to watch.
Antonio, this is Jim Hobgood, and I should tell our listeners we're visiting with Antonio Rice, former Wahoo football standout. Let me just say, from Coach Lazor's standpoint, let's say this quarterback battle is renewed in August. What will he be looking for in those 3 weeks of practice or whatever leading up to the first game that will make the determination?
You know, for me, I really think that Coach Lazor is going to be just looking for the quarterback that can be consistent, who can make the reads, make the throws, and be consistent, not turn over the ball. And so I think that's going to be the important piece because, you know, you have a decent running game, and if you have your receivers back, that can definitely help your quarterback. And you have, you know, Fells Dancer, you know, at back at fullback. I mean, you think you have some good pieces in place. So if you can have a guy that comes in and not make a lot of mistakes and be consistent, I think that's the guy that you go with. Now, again, we're still in the Wahoo Nation, if you're listening, we're still in the rebuilding stage. It's not quite complete yet. We need another recruiting class that we got this past year. And so I think that we have to be careful. I think we have to be careful in getting our hopes up too high. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I go back with, to answer your question, Jim, it's just you go with a guy that's going to be consistent, who's going to be going to make the right reads. You don't necessarily have to have a guy that's going to go out there and win the game, but most certainly have a guy in place that's not going to lose it for you.
Yeah, I'm just looking here, excuse me, Frank, but Rocco at least is – like 6'3", 210, so he's got pretty good size. What about, how big is Watford?
Watford is like, he's about 6'1", 180, you know, about 180. So, and just for him, you know, I just don't know many first-year quarterbacks that can come in any league, and especially the ACC, that can really come in and be consistent and make a difference. Now, the kid has all the intangibles. He can absolutely do it. And I'm just saying, gosh, if you're really rebuilding, maybe you should redshirt the guy.
Right.
And then of course, the tough piece, if that's the guy that gives you the best chance to win, then you're in trouble. You know, then it's like, then maybe you do play him. I mean, I don't know. For me, it's like, you know, if you're going to rebuild, let's redshirt the guy and get him some experience under his belt. But I know Wahoo Nation's we're impatient, man. We want to see, you know, get the best talent on the field and make some things happen. So that's going to be a tough call.
All right. Well, listen, Antonio, what we're going to do now is we're going to jump to our first break. We're going to carry you over to the next segment. So if you'll hang with us. We'll be
sure,
back
absolutely.
In just a few minutes, okay?
All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Michael Tusky here with our engineer, Jesse. Mr. VCU is with us here running the show, and we got Antonio Rice on the line with us, former Virginia standout football player. And, Antonio, I think we have a caller holding that has a question for you. Caller, go ahead. No? Did we lose?
All right, I know what his question was. It was, Antonio, are you there? We lost everybody. All right.
Well, you know.
I know the caller's name was Jern, and Jern asked the question about UVA recruiting and, you know, what did we think of the recruiting that London has done? And, you know, in a nutshell, they had a humongously successful year this year. If he can put a couple of years like that back-to-back, that would be phenomenal. Let's look here locally. Diamante Bailey from Hermitage, Thompson Brown right here at St. Christopher's, Kevin Green from Petersburg, Anthony Harris from Lloyd C. Byrd in Chesterfield. Just those guys alone, those are terrific kids. You look at some of the four-star, borderline five-star guys like Trey Nicholson and Brandon Phelps and Clifton Richardson. Holy cow, you know? So I think
we may have Antonio Rice back. Antonio, we're just here discussing recruiting. I think the question was about the recruiting class that Coach London has brought in. I guess Watford and Romero are already in school, but your assessment of the recruiting class?
Well, you know, Coach London, you know, a class like that doesn't come easy. You got to get out there and pound the pavements and get into the living rooms of these prospects and recruits and sell your product. And that's exactly what Coach London and his staff has been doing. And it's, you know, you can talk to anybody in regards to that. That's a tough piece of the job. But the bottom line is you got to get out there and pound the pavement and make that happen. And he did that. And one of the most ingenious things that he did was he took his program and took his product on the road. And, you know, one of the areas he wanted to focus on was the 757 area code. So why not go down there and, you know, and stake and try to reclaim some ground that that he has lost to some other in-state programs. And so I think he did an absolutely fantastic job, but that did not come easy. And it did not go unseen by the folks up the street in Blacksburg, let me just tell you that.
Right. Certainly, Beamer has reshuffled his staff, making an adjustment on the fly to try to catch up. You know, another interesting thing is I thought that Anthony Poindexter and Sean Moore just did huge business up in Maryland and Northern Virginia this past year. You look at Darius Jennings, Darius Lee, you look at Brandon Phelps, you know, Dominique Terrell. I mean, just to name, you know, Jay Whitmire right up in Alexandria. I mean, just all those guys are going to be playing. Every single one of those guys is going to be playing within 2 years.
Right. Oh, there's no doubt about that. And I want to stay on task, but I wanted to take you guys back a little bit, back when George Walsh first came in.
Right.
And basically he put a bullseye on Virginia. And then the rings kind of went out to, like, Carolina, Maryland. And then it kind of went to Pennsylvania, Georgia. But he wanted to focus on that D.C. Metro, Virginia, Hampton, Virginia Beach area first. You know, you want to get that first and then move outwardly. And so my first class, there was Barry Word, Howard Petty, Charlie McDaniels. I'm thinking some other guys that came in. John Newhall. We had some Hofstas in that first class. And in the second class, guys, I can't remember, but then you start thinking about the David Griggs and the Loggemans. And then you go beyond that, and the Terry Kirby's and the Chris Slade. And so, but we held, you know, we took care of home first. We took care of Virginia first. And that's exactly what Coach London is attempting to do.
Yeah, Antonio, not to cut you off, but, you know, it's true in basketball. I know it's true in football. Good players make good coaches. So that, so it's all about recruiting. You got to get the pipeline of people coming. You mentioned George Welsh. That takes us back to your playing days. Before we let you go, and we got about a minute before we got to go to our bottom of the hour break, but take us back to maybe your favorite moment as a Cavalier, a moment or two.
Well, you know, the biggest moment, basically, was most certainly, you know, coming in with George. One, you know, we won two games. You go 2-9. The next year we go 6-5, and then in 1984 we go 8-2-2. And I think we started that year off getting beat by Clemson 55-0. Well, that was terrible.
That's what we call a heartbreaker.
And so, you know, going to the Peach Bowl and getting that monkey off of our back, and not only just the football team's back, but it was the university's back about not having gone to a bowl ever in our history. That, by far, was the biggest highlight of my career, for sure. It was absolutely phenomenal, incredible. It's what, you know, gosh, it's kind of what movies are made out of, you know, to tell you the truth. It just could not have gone any better.
Well, you not only went, you won.
Yeah,
you know, and so no one ever expected us to win. We're playing Purdue, who was just incredible in the Big Ten. They had Jim Everett and Rod Woodson, I believe, his name was, defensive back. They had some great players. And for us, we didn't even, it's like, okay, these bowls aren't even fun. We're working too hard. You know, we want to do what Purdue's doing. Those guys are going out and having a good time. But George worked our butts, man, and he wanted to make sure that we were in the best position to win. And sure enough, we won that darn thing.
All right, one last quick question, and that is, how would you grade Coach London? Here he is starting his second season. How would you grade him versus your coach, George Welsh, as he moved through from his first to second season?
You know, right now, and I would give Coach London, I would have to give him an A. I wouldn't give him an A+, wouldn't give him an A-. You know, the conditions in which that guy, the program was in when he came in and took over,
right?
The things weren't very good in Charlottesville. Let me just be perfectly honest. It just wasn't. The program wasn't in a good space. From where he's taken this program in this very first year, I think the guy's done a fantastic job.
Well, Antonio, we appreciate your joining us. The one thing for certain, when we get into football season next fall, we're going to have you back as a guest on Who's Talking. You're just too much knowledge there to let you not make another appearance, maybe frequent appearances on the show. But we thank you for joining us tonight and look forward to having you back next fall.
That would be great. I'd appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Antonio Rice joining us tonight. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. When we return, we'll have head tennis coach Brian Bolin join us.